of my experience. I want to use that in order to give you guys the information that you need to successfully plan out everything. So also, I would like to take this time to discuss our sponsors. We have ME Productions for all your digital needs. I want you guys to check them out. You can find them on Facebook at ME Productions with a Z at the end. Please shoot them an email at heyme.tv@gmail.com. We also have iCraveWear. Please check out their fax lines. They have hoodies and T-shirts. They also have a Time Heals All Wounds dad hat, and you can find that at iCraveWear.com. If you use the code PREGAME at the checkout, you'll get 15% off. And our other sponsor is LitBK. Please check out their Star Power Tees and other pieces that are inspired by Brooklyn, New York, and pop culture. Use the code PREGAMEISLIT on the site, which is LitBKNY.com, and you will get 20% off of your purchase. I'm going to enter this information in the comment section of the show, so that way if you don't remember it or if you didn't write it down, you could go and check it out and you'll know exactly who the sponsors are. Okay, I'm going to take a quick break and I will be back after this. I'm going to play one song for you guys and I'll be back to talk about the IRA rollover consequences.
Wondering when it's gonna come or where it's been. May have got your heart broken a few times in the past. Never last as strong as it used to. It don't feel as good as it used to before. And all the things you used to say, things you used to do, went right out the door. Ooh, no more will you be the one that's what you tell everyone around you. Can you say yeah? When love won't let you walk away, and you can't help who you love, and you find yourself giving it all away when you think you're in love. Ooh, huh. I wanna be the one who you believe in your heart is destined from heaven. There's a piece of me who leaves when you're gone because you're destined. Change what they feel from what's been. You may have put your whole life into a mess, loving what you thought it could have been. No, what if we change and you don't feel as good as you used to before? And everything you used to say, everything you used to do, went right out the door. Ooh, no more will you be the one. That's what you tell everyone. And you find yourself.
Okay, welcome back and welcome into segment number one. And again, remember, reach out to me on Instagram at TexExpert, and I can answer any questions that you have in regards to the content. But let's get right into it. This is in regards to IRA rollover consequences. Okay, so first you need to know that the tax law does permit you to take distributions from your IRA account. As long as you return the distribution to your account within 60 days, there are no tax ramifications. However, many taxpayers overlook that you are only allowed to do that once in a 12-month period of time, and violating this rule can actually have some nasty tax ramifications. So the one-year period is actually measured based on the date a distribution is received. And if the second distribution is received before the same date 1 year later, then it is considered a disqualified rollover. I'm going to give you guys an example so you could pick up on what I'm saying. All right, so imagine that you take a distribution from your IRA on June 30th of year one, and you subsequently roll that over, which means you subsequently roll over the distribution, which pretty much means that you put into your IRA account, and you do this within the 60-day rollover period. Well, you must wait until June 30th of year two before another distribution is eligible for a rollover. Any additional distributions that are taken during the one-year waiting period will be taxable. I'll give you a second example. All right, say you receive a distribution from your IRA with Bank One in February, and you immediately roll it over into a new IRA with Bank Two. Then in May, you take a distribution from Bank Two and rolled it back into the IRA at Bank Two within 60 days. Well, even though you rolled the exact amount back into the same institution within 60 days, The distribution from Bank One has started running for the one-year waiting period. So what that basically means is that you do have to watch out for the transactions that you're making, and you'll have to watch out for the time periods that you're doing it within, because you may not actually know what's happening, but if you're watching out the in and out, you'll be able to know that you should probably wait a year before doing something. But, you know, just like everything else in taxes, there are exceptions to this particular one-year rule. And I'm going to give you the following exceptions now. So basically direct transfers, which are this is basically something where the IRA funds are transferred directly between trustees. And the transaction, when this happens, is not considered a rollover. So a taxpayer can make as many direct transfers in 1 year as he wants. In fact, utilizing this direct transfer is the preferred way to move funds from one IRA to another because it eliminates certain tax reporting issues. And one form of this is a Roth conversion. So basically a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA conversion is not considered a rollover for purposes of the one-year rule. Another one is a distribution to and from a qualified plan. Since the one-year rule only applies to IRA for IRA to IRA rollovers, then rollovers to and from any other types of retirement plans are not governed by the one-year rule. However, be aware if you have an SEP or a simple plan, they are treated as an IRA for purposes of the one-year waiting period. Also, failed financial institutions. An IRA distribution, which is made from a failed financial institution by the FDIC, is generally disregarded for purposes of this rule. Now, for anything that is not an exception, you will have a tax consequence. So now I'm going to talk about the tax consequences of violating this rule. All right. So in a distribution, after the first one made within the one-year waiting period, will not be treated as a rollover, and it will have the following consequences. So let's talk about the traditional IRA and its consequences. In this case, the entire distribution will be taxable, and if the taxpayer is under the age of 59 and a half at the time of the distribution, then another 10% early distribution penalty will apply. Now, the Roth IRA, okay, there are two different types here. There is the non-qualified distributions. Now, these non-qualified distribution earnings are taxable. You probably aren't familiar with what this is, so I'm going to explain it. A non-qualified distribution is one where the Roth IRA has not met the five-year aging requirements. The five-year aging generally means that the Roth IRA has been in existence for a continuous period of 5 years, although the first and last years do not need to be full years. So that's what that actually means. But those earnings from that type of account are taxable. Now, of course, this means that the original contributions are never taxable and is based on a specific distribution sequence, which is contributions, then conversions, which are from the traditional IRAs or rollovers, which are from the qualified plans, and then the last sequence is the earnings. Now, a 10% early distribution penalty applies to any amount attributable to the part of the conversion or rollover amount that had to be included in income at the time of the conversion or rollover. This is something that is considered to be the recapture amount. Now, the second element to this is a qualified distribution, which is pretty good because that means no tax or penalty applies if a distribution from a Roth IRA is a qualified distribution. All right. So to be a qualified distribution, this has to have been made after the five-year aging period, which I already discussed what the five-year aging period is, and also the taxpayer has to be 9 1/2 or older, or disabled, or deceased, or qualify for the first-time home buyer exception, okay? So the next thing is for a disqualified rollover. So an additional problem arises usually because the disqualified rollover amount would be treated as an IRA contribution, and then it's subject to the normal annual contribution and AGI limits. Now, the tax law includes a penalty when someone contributes more than what is allowed, and the excess amount would be subject to a 6% excess contribution penalty. This 6% penalty is an annual penalty. So this happens on an annual basis. It's not a one-time thing. If you do this year by year, then you're going to get that 6% penalty year by year. But there are a couple of remedies that are available for this. However, too many of them to actually go over within this particular show. So if you are to reach out to me, I can give you more details on those remedies if you find yourself within that particular situation. Now I want to talk about the early withdrawal penalty, because I know I mentioned this 10% penalty that happens if you're age 59 1/2. All right. Basically, what this is, the disallowed rollover occurs before you reach age 59 1/2. An early distribution penalty of 10% of the taxable amount will apply and is in addition to the normal tax. However, there are a number of exceptions to the underage penalty. And the following exceptions might actually help avoid or mitigate this penalty if it's associated with a disqualified rollover. So we're going to talk about a couple of things that might help remedy the age penalty, which is at 59 1/2. So first, contributions returned before the due date. If the taxpayer already made an IRA contribution for the tax year and the amount of that contribution can be withdrawn, I'm sorry, let me start over with this one here because I might be explaining it too fast. So these are in regards to contributions returned before the due date. So if the taxpayer already made an IRA contribution for the tax year, then the amount of that contribution can be withdrawn tax-free by the extended due date of the tax return. Now, that is if the following applies. So there's three things here. First, had not made a deduction for the contributions withdrawn. Next, the taxpayer also withdraws any interest or other income earned on the contribution. And third, the taxpayer includes an income for the year during which the withdrawal was made, any earnings on the contributions withdrawn. Now, I know I'm throwing a lot of information at you guys. So, again, if you need to ask questions on it, please reach out to me. a tax expert, and I'll be able to clarify a lot of these things. But I do need to move forward to the next one. It's the medical insurance exception. Now, the amount that is exempt from the penalty is the amount the taxpayer paid during the year for medical insurance for either himself, his spouse, or his dependents. To qualify for this exception, the taxpayer must have four things. One is a loss of his job. Second is to have received unemployment compensation for 12 consecutive weeks. Third is to have made IRA withdrawals during the year in which he or she received unemployment, or made withdrawals no later than 60 days after being re-employed. All right? So now the next one is the higher education expense exception. So the part that's not subject to the penalty is generally the amount that is not more than the qualified higher education expenses for the taxpayer and his spouse, his children, or his grandchildren. Now, I know a lot of these terms may be new to you guys, but these are topics that I've actually covered in other shows where I explained information on, you know, the higher education expenses. I've talked about IRAs and their contributions. I talked about early withdrawal penalties. So if you've been following the shows, a lot of these terms will have will either be familiar to you or be something that you actually know about. If you get thrown off a little bit, I do encourage you to listen to the show again or to reach out to me. But I also do want to encourage you to reach out to a professional for advice on how to resolve any of these issues that you may be involved in. Don't just listen to the show and think that you can solve all of your problems here. Sometimes it's too much information to pack all into one, so you really need to take your specific situation, sit down with a professional, and find out what all of your options are. Okay? So, the extra part about it is just to make sure that you don't make more than one IRA rollover in 1 year. But it's also good to know what happens when you do have distributions and excess contributions that are going into these IRAs. So I'm going to take a one song break, and I'll be back for segment number two, where I talk about the keys to that, the key steps that you need to take before you start a business.
Baby, take a breath. I just wanna find you, baby. You and I can have a good time. Tell me what you like. Now listen, I've been single for a while now, and I've been kinda lonely. So I'm looking for somebody to talk to, love me, someone who can hold me. Is that you? Somebody I can call for, looking for the only one that I can give my all to. Tell me if it's you, what you wanna do, you make a move. You can be my teacher, I do homework. You can give me extra credit, baby, I'll do more work. What you wanna do,
me and you. would never, never, ever hurt you. I open my heart.
Open my heart, give it to you.
Segment two. In this segment, I'm going to talk about the key steps that you need to take before starting a business. However, if you're an entrepreneur and you already started your business, it's never too late. Sometimes it is, so I'm lying. But ideally, it's never too late for you to make corrections and get things in gear or fix certain things that can help you out and help you grow. And, you know, I definitely want you guys to listen to this and take these tips and ask questions if there's an area where you need more explanation of. All right. So the reason why I decided to choose this particular topic is that very few people starting a new business is easy. But at the very same time, there are few people who don't realize just how involved it is. And they get an idea. And they think they should just start off with it without taking certain steps. You definitely got to do your research before you just jump into something because you might find it to be a costly expense. So I have 10 suggestions that I think you guys need to listen to in order to help, you know, the process go smoothly. So number one, identify the why of it all. Basically, you need to determine why you feel so compelled to start this particular business at this particular time. Is it just because you think that maybe it's a great idea and you're going to generate a lot of money? If that is the case, you might want to take a step back and just test your idea to find out if it's something that can impact people's lives or if it's something that people can love and then move forward. For identifying the need, actually is very closely related to number one, because this is pretty much where you verify that the idea is actually a viable one. Essentially, you just have to confirm that there is a genuine need in the marketplace for your product or your service. You don't want to start making, say, for example, CDs when you know that everybody is starting to gear towards iTunes. You know, buying songs off of iTunes. This is an example of just coming up with an idea that nobody wants, all right? So you don't want to be a solution in search of a problem. You want to find the problem and provide the solution. You want to make sure that people are looking for a business like yours. All right, number three, please do not quit your day job, at least not yet. Building a successful business is generally not something that happens overnight. A lot of times it could take several years of planning and hard working, not to mention several years of mistakes and learning from it and improving, okay? So what you need to do is just map out your road to see when exactly you should focus on your business full-time. And along the way, just continue to work, you know, your full-time job, if you have a full-time job, and that way you can help fund the business. Because, again, a lot of businesses actually have losses in the first year, which we're going to go to, and that's one of the 10 suggestions. So on to number four, do not neglect your family. Again, a lot of times people get into business and they don't understand the full impact that it may have on their family life. But, you know, being a business owner requires a huge amount of time. Unless you have partners or you're just investing in something, you know, if you're the mastermind behind this idea, it's going to take time. And if you're doing it by yourself, it's going to take double time. So you need to make sure that even though you're working hard and you're using almost every free moment that you have towards this goal, you're not under any circumstances doing it at the expense of your loved ones and your friends that are around you. Number six, writing a business plan. I personally do not think that the old-fashioned 40-page business plans are useful any longer. I think that more simplified, straight-to-the-point, but detailed versions are very useful, not only for you, but if you were to seek out a business loan. The reason why is because this business plan is basically a roadmap. It tells you where to start, puts your idea into a realistic, actionable plan that helps you move forward in the future for every single step of the way. It's actually a logical way to put things down on paper and for you to see your costs and expenses and know what it's going to take for you to get from point A to point Z. All right? Number six is the entrepreneur's bet. Okay, so this is a little phrase that's out there, and it's something that you will come across if you're writing your business plan. I mean, you will come across it regardless, but writing your business plan will actually have you put it into perspective. Essentially, you just need to figure out how much money a business plan like yours needs in order to become profitable. And you also need to acknowledge that your business is very unlikely to be successful right away. So you have to be able to have enough money to pay off all of these expenses in the short run. And I'm not saying that people can't be successful right away. There's businesses that just all of a sudden pop up overnight and these owners are highly successful. But again, those types of opportunities are not likely. You know, anything can happen. So you could be one of the people who that type of opportunity happens with. You still should be prepared for yourself to probably have an operating loss in your first several years. And you just want to make sure that the path you're on is viable. And by doing this step, you will definitely make sure of that. Step number seven, this is the myth about the one-size-fits-all approach, okay? So at this point, it's important for you to acknowledge that there's no right way to start a business, and the choices that you have to make will be influenced by a wide range of different factors, which are going to be unique to your industry. And this is, again, where a business plan and your vision come into play, because you'll be able to see these different factors. But basically, you just need to review all your local, state, and federal regulations that are pertaining to the plan and vision that you are trying to complete or approach. And the reason behind this is because different places have different laws. New Jersey is different from New York, which is different from Nevada, which is California. So, you know, you definitely need to do your research and find out what's going on so that there are no factors out there which are going to prevent you from achieving your goals. Number eight, you got to think about technology, okay? I mean, this day and age, this technology is a very big part. And the type of business that you're developing is going to definitely be, is going to definitely determine the type of technology you're going to need. For example, if you're a local store that's like a brick and mortar retail store, then you may need a point of sale system or an inventory management system or something of that sort. But if you happen to be, say, for an example, an online marketing agency, then you may need graphic design software or some type of collaboration tool or something that's going to help that line of trade. So when it comes to, you know, the type of business you have, your technology strategy and your business strategy are essentially going to be one in one or one in the same, because they need to feed into each other. so you can have the proper IT that's going to help generate the momentum you need to continue, because we know that in today's society, it's the IT that helps us grow and expand. Number nine is choosing the right business entity. I'm not going to get too deep into this one. I did a whole segment on it. It was a past show, so if you listen to that, you'll get a lot of information about it. But this is just another step that you don't want to miss. The reason behind it is that, you know, each of these entities has different tax consequences, and you really got to analyze what type of business you're getting into, how much revenue you think you're going to generate within the first year or even 5 years out, and then based on that, plan the strategy that may be the best for you. Most people choose the limited liability structure, which the most common limited liability structure is an LLC, which is a limited liability company. But it really depends on what you need. You know, you may choose an LLC, but later find out that an S-Corp is the best option for you. All right. So you definitely want to look into what you're doing, your disadvantages and advantages for each of these entities, and then analyze which one is the best. So finally, we are at number 10, which is finding the help that you need. I know a lot of times people feel like, it's my vision, only I understand it. I won't be able to communicate it or translate it to anybody else. Or there may be people out there who feel that if they were to share their vision, someone else would steal it. But honestly, there's two things that are going on here, okay? Number one, you don't know everything, and that's even if you think you do. And number two, you can't do it all alone, all right? So the difference between a lot of failed versus successful businesses, that these owners have come down and acknowledged that they need assistance. You don't want to do a poor job with a business task because you don't have the skills or because you're afraid to hire someone who does have the skills, okay? And you don't want to guess at questions and possibly have the wrong answer when you can find the right advisor or a mentor that can guide you to give you the right answer. So the point in this whole thing is just understand that you will reach a point in time, whether it's in the beginning or 5 years down the road or 10 years down the road, where you may not be able to do it all alone. Just look out, build up a team of people or a team of advisors and reach out for help and advice, whether it's family members, former colleagues, or somebody that you pay, you know, just look for advice because it is going to be something that will be needed. So we finished all 10 suggestions. I'm glad you guys listened in, and I hope that this was helpful to you. And if it's not helpful to you, just tell it to somebody that you know because maybe it'll be helpful to them. Okay, I'm going to take a one song break and I'll be back with the third segment. Thanks.
That you can't find nowhere else. When you're far away and not around, and temptation fills your heart, think of all the ways that I'm faithful, babe. And to replace me would be hard, cause there's nobody. Wanna. You can even behave like you don't care. You know, like I know that you ain't that foolish. Who you fooling? You won't ruin. We've been here all along. You ain't moving. So what you gotta hold?
welcome back to the third segment of this show. And this is in regards to determining if you will get a refund for 2018. All right, so I'm going to talk to you guys about what's happening this year and how you can try to figure out what the end result is going to be for you when you file your tax return in 2019. Okay, so most taxpayers will be paying less tax in 2018 than they did in the prior year, which is 2017. But that may not translate into a larger refund, okay? So paying less tax does not mean that you're going to get a higher refund, okay? Your refund amount is actually your prepayments that exceed your tax liability. Now, your prepayments are income tax withheld, estimated tax payments, and certain credits. So if the prepayments were reduced, it could lead to a very unpleasant surprise when you file your tax return. Now, I know you're probably asking, why would the prepayments, particularly your withheld income tax, be less? Well, it's simple. This is because the current W-4 form, on which employers base the amount of tax to withhold, and the withholding tables provided provided by the government that employers use to determine the amount to withhold, are not sophisticated enough to deal with the revised tax laws. Okay? So that means that these guidelines that are being used are not keeping up with the law changes, okay? If that's a good way for me to explain it, or should I say it's not calculating the tax law in a beneficial way, all right? So the reason behind this is because Congress passed the changes, but the IRS did not have sufficient time to adjust the W-4 form and the withholding tables to match the changes. And the IRS did try to resolve the issue by coming out with a revised W-4 form back in February of this year, but there were many serious concerns. Two of them I'm going to actually mention. So the first one was that the revised W-4 and the withholding tables were not coming up with the correct amounts based upon the new tax law. And the second was that the form itself is much more complicated for employees to use than the prior versions in previous years. So this W-4 form is not using the correct amount, and also is too complicated for a lot of people to use. So, you know, the government is so concerned about this that the IRS is actually issuing daily notices, which is cautioning taxpayers to double-check their withholding. So if you work a full-time job or a part-time job and you haven't double-checked your withholding yet, please speak to your professional or your advisor to have them double-check to make sure that you're on track, because you really don't want an unpleasant surprise when you file your tax return. Now, I will tell you this. Checking your withholding doesn't do much for you if you're not also projecting what your tax is going to be for 2018, because we know that with the tax law changes, people's tax amount is going to be somewhat different. So not only do you need to see your withholding, but you need to see what your projected tax is going to be and then compare the two. All right. Now, the IRS is developing a new W-4 form, which is going to hopefully do a better job in determining the proper withholding based on your wages. But they just recently announced that they will continue to use the current W-4 form for 2019. So that means that not only are we going to have these issues in 2018, but we're going to have the same issues in 2019. And unfortunately, the new one won't be released until 2020. So in that case, it's very important for you guys to go and have your tax situation analyzed. Okay, so if you count on a large refund, if year by year you get a large refund and you're counting on this, okay, you would want to take the time to project your 2018 tax and then compare it to your prepayments to see if you can expect a refund or if you can at least determine approximately how much it will be. So we are only three quarters, well, only the year is almost done. We're three quarters into the year. And so it's best for you to do this now rather than waiting until December, because if you want a particular result, you may have to start now in order to get there. So I'm going to take a one song break because this is the end of segment three. When I come back, I'm going to give you a tax tip, and then I'm going to wrap up the show. Thank you so much for sticking around. This is a treat for you. It is my tax tip. And this tax tip relationship is regarding reasonable compensation for escorts. So if you're an S corporation or you're looking to become a corporation, I'm going to give you guys a tip to determine what your reasonable compensation is going to be. One crucial thing of being an S corp is the reasonable compensation. And here's the reason why. Because unlike a C corporation, which pays itself the tax on its taxable income, an S corporation does not directly pay taxes on its income. Instead, its income, losses, deductions, and credits are distributed to its shareholders on a percentage. Okay? So these distributions that the shareholders receive are not subject to self-employment taxes. Self-employment taxes are Social Security and Medicare. So as a result, there have been problems with taxpayers not paying their self-employment tax. This has actually been a long-standing issue. And the Internal Revenue Code actually establishes that an officer of an S corporation is supposed to pay reasonable compensation. And the reason why is because that reasonable compensation is a way of resolving the issue that has been ongoing for quite some time. So if you are an officer of an S corporation, then you should make sure that you're treating your compensation as wages rather than as a distribution. Now, if you were to get audited and that auditor actually felt or had, I shouldn't say felt, if they had proof and reason to see, let me just say this, if they had proof that your salary was unreasonable, then you will be assessed penalties and interest for that. And you'll also have to pay your self-employment tax on that. So rather than end up in a situation where you not only have to pay the tax, but also penalties and interest on that tax, it's better to just resolve the problem right away. So my tax tip is going to be how to determine your reasonable compensation. So here are a few factors that courts have considered in determining them. I'm not going to give you all the factors. I'm just going to give you several. Okay. So first would be the officer's training and experience. Second would be the officer's duties and responsibilities. Then it would be the time and effort that the officer devotes to the business, as well as the corporation's payments to non-shareholder employees. Also, the payments that are comparable to businesses that have the similar service or products. And the last one that I'm going to mention is in regards to the corporation's compensation agreements. Okay, so if you are struggling with figuring out how to determine a reasonable compensation, it would be good for you to sit with a professional and find out what you should be paying yourself. But you can also do your research on those categories that I just gave you to try to put the pieces of the puzzle together for yourself and get on track with paying yourself the right way. Now, with this new tax law, it actually created a new issue with reasonable compensation, and that is because it's directly related to the code section 199A. This code section is a deduction that people are able to take, but if you earn over a certain dollar amount, you will not qualify for this deduction. This especially affects certain specified services, which just to name a few of the services, is people who are in the field of health, law, accounting, performing arts, consulting, financial services, and brokerage services. So, you know, sometimes people may be tempted to not do the right thing because you see that, okay, I can make more money and I can save money if I don't follow this particular rule. But in the end, you find out that it actually costs you more money because you definitely get slammed with penalties and slammed with interest. And it's just not a good way to start off a business. If you want your business to be successful and to grow, you want to do things the right way. So definitely for those of you who are looking to become an S corporation or who are already currently an S corporation, you know, pay yourself a reasonable compensation. Thank you for listening to that tax tip. Thank you for listening to this entire show. I really appreciate you guys tuning in. I'm going to take a break for some time, but I'll be back around again with the whole new season and all new tax tips for all of you. If you need to reach out to me, please reach out on Instagram. My name is Tax Expert. I will answer messages and give, you know, advice when needed or suggestions on different things or even clarity on topics that I have spoken. Now, before I wrap up for the show, I do want to mention our awesome shows that are coming up this week, okay? So on Tuesday night at 9 p.m., we have Black NPR with Danny from Queens, okay? And I want you guys to tune into that show. On Wednesdays at 7 p.m., we have the Dopeness Only podcast, which is with Mark J. Kelly and Mimi Meow. Please tune into that show. On Thursday nights at 9 p.m., we have the Realist Radio Show with Tasha Nicole Wright and Alyssa Noriega. Friday and Saturday nights at 10 p.m. is Pregame Radio with Brooklyn Black and OTM Hafa. And Sundays at 1 p.m., we have Love, Peace, and Slander with Lady Steele and Mr. Earl Grey. Thank you for tuning in. I'll see you guys the next time around.
Story ends for me, but I know where the story begins.